First, as temperatures got cold this winter and the days got darker, the beer we drink changed along with it. From barrel-aged stouts to fruit-infused seasonals, a lot of Wisconsin craft breweries use this time to offer up some unique and limited-release beers. Kyle Nabilsi joins us now for a look at seasonal winter beers in Wisconsin. He's a food and beer writer for Isthmus. Kyle, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So what is a winter beer? Is there a definition-ish that people agree on?
You know, this is the time of year where you really get, like you said, a lot of the high alcohol, the big stouts, frequently barrel-aged. You'll see a lot of barley wines this time of year, you know, the sort of the things that warm you from the inside.
Like substantial, I guess, is a word
I
would think.
Yeah, yeah, because you don't want to be drinking one of those on the beach. You know, so you get a lot of the bigger ones now because now everyone kind of wants just to sort of hibernate and be warm in their living room or at the bar or wherever and have a beer that sort of reflects that coziness. And so you get a lot of the high alcohol ones this time of year. But at the same time, you have citrus fruits that hit, you know, Wisconsin this time of year. So people are kind of also in the mood for citrusy things, high acid, sort of tart beers. And so you'll see the occasional sort of fruited high acid beer or the occasional, you know, hoppy release this time of year because hops, you know, that flavor is ultimately an acid flavor as well. So it really, you can make an excuse for any kind of beer any time of year, really, honestly. But yeah.
And we were talking during the news, there are a lot of breweries out there now. There have been explosions of breweries over the years. Do many of them, most of them, come out with these special seasonal releases nowadays?
Yeah, more or less everyone kind of follows the same calendar. That doesn't necessarily mean they all release the same kind of beer. You know, they may use this time of year to pursue, you know, different added ingredients beyond the regular stout or barley wine. You know, they may throw chocolate into a beer or coconut into a beer or something like that. But yeah, generally speaking, breweries know what people want to drink roughly when they want to drink it. So they start brewing things well in advance so that they can release them in a seasonally appropriate kind of way.
And in a piece you wrote, you introduced me to a concept. I don't know if a lot of beer people do this, truck chasing.
Truck chasing. Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of like, you know, it's the math formulas written on your hand, kind of dirty secret of beer dorks. You know, the term comes from people who would, and thankfully I've never actually done this, follow the delivery trucks from shop to shop and be the first guy through the door once they roll that pallet in the back door. And they'll just literally follow them around town, chasing the trucks. It's like ambulance chasing, you know, the sort of the lawyer joke. It's the same thing for the ultra high demand beers, and the goobers sort of like me that chase after them.
You don't literally chase a truck.
So no, I don't actually
find out when the beer is going to be put on the shelf at a place.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, and that's the nice thing about social media is that most, bottle shops and or breweries will tell you roughly when things are going to happen. The really big ones, the breweries will say, all right, this is the day. Nobody sells it before this day. It's kind of like books or movies. You know, it has the drop date, the street date. And before that, you're not going to find it anywhere. That day is where you find it everywhere. Other times, a bottle shop may say, hey, we're going to be expecting our delivery of X, Y, or Z beer. We're only getting a case of it. It's going to come in on Thursday. And then they may do a lottery. They may do first come, first serve. They may just sort of cater to their locals, their regulars.
Do they ever do a Beyonce and just like drop the beer without any
secret
premeditation?
Beer.
Yeah, secret beer.
Those are usually the fresher ones, the like the hoppy ones. Mm-hmm. For example, there's a brewery in Eau Claire called The Brewing Project, and they will can stuff and get it into Madison the day they canned it. You know, they want to make sure it's here fresh and tasting exactly how they made it. And so they'll drive it into town and it's like, it's here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kyle Nabilsi is with us from Isthmus. We're talking about seasonal winter beers in Wisconsin. I want to get into some of your recommendations. We did something special. We'll have you talk about them, but we also had a tasting.
Sure.
I moderated. I didn't taste myself. With some WPR staff where they talk about it. Let's get into some of your recommendations. A Blackberry Berliner Weisse.
Sure. Yep.
And it's Untitled Art and a Minnesota brewery called Forager. Tell us about this.
Sure. So Untitled Art is another one of my favorites of 2017. It's a collaboration between Octopi Brewing in Wanakee, which is sort of a contract brewer. They do brewing for other breweries that need capacity. And Levi Funk, who opened Funk Factory just off of Park Street within the last couple of years. He's been doing some sour and lambic kind of releases. So they teamed up. And then they also, because they have a lot of connections in the industry, they also then bring in a third party, such as Forager, in the case of the Blackberry Berliner, and sort of collaborate on whatever the heck they want to do. And so in this case, it was a very heavily fruited Blackberry Berliner Weisse. And Berliner Weisse is kind of a light, tart, baby sour. It's nothing like it's going to turn you inside out, but it's tart, it's sour, it's kind of citric, lactic, kind of vinegar flavor almost sometimes.
Let's go to our WPR panel on this. I don't remember who all was there. This was last week. Let's give a listen.
I was getting ready to do a snare drum solo over there.
Can you, you don't actually have sticks, though.
I don't need sticks.
This is Forager Brewery Untitled Art, Blackberry Berliner Weisse. So you guys can pour your own beer.
I wasn't sure if we were recording. I was telling Scott not to crunch his pretzel right into the microphone.
Oh, that's
we're recording.
He's recording, and he should crunch his pretzel.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I'll take the bottle when it's done.
Okay.
Sure you will,
and this
Carl.
Is an interesting purpolish color, kind of like, I don't know,
like
grape juice or carbonated wine.
It looks like pomade wine or something.
Ooh, I really like this.
Oh, it's sweet.
Well, I was going to say it's not sweet at all.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of curling my ears that it's, like, got an edge to it.
I thought we were doing a beer tasting, Carl.
Yeah.
I like it. Well, and I love sour beer, so perhaps I'm,
Can you even call it a beer because it's, like, pink?
It almost kind of reminds me of kombucha.
Yeah, I was going to say the same
both
thing.
In color and the sourness. I'm also, full disclosure, not a big sour beer fan.
So I'm a huge sour beer fan, and I could drink this anytime someone put it in front of me.
I would agree.
It reminds me a bit of those kind of cherry and raspberry lambic things that New Glarus puts out. I think those have like a little more depth to them.
All right, finish those off, and
we
got now you pretzels
swallow?
To clear your palate.
Your
palate, I was going to say. All right, Blackberry Berliner Weisse. I think what we learned from this session is nobody ever agrees. You'll never get two opinions the same on the same beer.
Sure, that's the trick of talking about any sort of flavor things. Is people may mean the same thing, but they come at it from totally different angles. Yeah.
Are we developing, you know, I mean, the wine people, and I've never been a wine person, they have a language of talking about wine. Do we have that more and more with beer now?
Yes. Yeah, to the point that the big macro breweries, the Buds and Millers, are making fun of craft beer drinkers for doing that. You know, they had that big Super Bowl ad a couple years ago where like, our beer, we don't fuss over our beer, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, they made fun of pumpkin peach ales or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, there's definitely that sort of tasting note mentality with beer now too.
But does that help, you know, if I'm a beer drinker, if I know I like beer X and somebody else says, well, beer Y has these similar properties that you might like, that actually could help the beer drinker.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a functional purpose behind that kind of analysis, and it helps people come in, you know, with an angle of approach on a beer that they may not know otherwise.
All right, let's check out another one. New Glarus Spotted Cow Grand Cru. Kind of a Spotted Cow, big name in Wisconsin. Let's go to our panel on this one, and then I'll get your thoughts on it, Kyle.
I love these pretzels.
They're really your basic pretzels.
I like the label.
I'm for them.
I like that one too.
Okay. Oh, I've had this before.
Next up, we have a New Glarus beer. This is Spotted Cow, Grand Cru. I don't know what that means. This is more of a beer color.
Yeah, this looks like a beer.
This off to a good start.
I think this one has a high alcohol percentage.
8.5.
Oh, nice.
It smells a lot like a good Belgian triple.
A lot of people spending time smelling first.
Ooh.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Well,
Spotted Cow kind of has that corn flavor, and this doesn't have it.
Yeah, which is...
Don't put that on the air, because people will kill me if I say that.
Yeah.
I have to say, I mean, it's fine, but for me, it doesn't have oomph.
Yeah, there's nothing really special.
But, it's just boozier.
That's the thing about Spotted Cow, is that there's not a lot to it anyways.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It's kind of... it's pleasant, you know?
Yeah.
It's got some nice, like, fruity flavors to it.
It's a drinking beer.
I like it.
Yeah.
I think it's
okay.
I think it's kind of got that extra flavor that I would want in Spotted Cow, because to me, Spotted Cow, this is like anti-Wisconsin, isn't everything it's talked up to be. But that's just me. I'm from Minnesota.
I think we were expecting a lot because it came in the fancy bottle.
Well, we're getting good ambivalent messages from the panel here. Yeah. You'll either like this beer or not.
It's okay. I just feel like New Glarus can do better than this.
Mm-hmm. And they do.
Totally.
You nodded along some early there, Kyle, anyway, to some of the comments about it. So tell us about this New Glarus Spotted Cow Grand Cru.
So this, if I remember correctly, is the second year that they've done this beer. It's kind of an imperial version of the regular Spotted Cow, which basically just means it's got higher alcohol content. It's a couple percentage points higher than regular Spotted Cow. And they throw in a little coriander and, I believe, orange peel into the recipe as well. So it's
seasonal sounding. Yeah.
It feels right for this time of year. But it's definitely... bigger. It feels bigger. It feels boozier when you drink it. I haven't had any of this year's batch, but I remember it being kind of creamy, a little fuller on the palate than what you'd get with Spotted Cow, which, as someone said, I think that was Scott, said that it can be a little corny sometimes. Whoever that was said is very accurate. It does have a little bit of a corn flavor, and that's not necessarily a flaw. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're in the state where if you don't pay deference to Spotted Cow, you feel like a little bit of a cheater. Yeah, right. Yeah, get out.
We're talking about winter Wisconsin beers. Kyle Nabilsi is with us, food and beer writer for Isthmus. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite seasonal beer, Wisconsin or otherwise? What kind of beers do you turn to in the winter? Do you have a question for Kyle? Maybe a recommendation for a beer that suits your current needs, or maybe an event coming up this weekend? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We've got more beers coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation now with Kyle Nabilsi, food and beer writer for Isthmus. We're looking at great seasonal beers, winter beers, especially from Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite Wisconsin beer you like to break out during the winter months? Is there one you look forward to every winter? Do you anticipate the winter releases? Or do you have a question? Do you need a recommendation? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go to your calls now. Owen is with us in Wauwega. Owen, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's your recommendation?
Thanks for my call, Rob. I'm totally with you guys on that Grand Cru, too. All you guys' comments seem to be the way I feel about it as well. I got one. It's not a Wisconsin vintage, but it comes out of Eastern Pennsylvania. And the brewery is called Weyerbacher. That's Weyerbacher. Okay?
And then that's the make. What's the model?
The model is called Blithering Idiot.
Blithering Idiot.
Yep. And that's the barley wine.
And that's what you can find around the state?
Yep. If you go to Woodman's, Beechwood is the distributor. They can get it for you. And Woodman's has it. I mean, we go to Appleton, and I've gotten it down in Sun Prairie at Woodman's, and they got it.
All right. Owen, thanks for that recommendation. And if you can spell Weyerbacher, you can spell Wauwega. Yeah, I mean, if we start going out of the state, Kyle, I mean, do you have some favorites from across state lines for this time of year?
Yeah, you know, the Midwest is great for winter beers. You know, obviously you can go to California and get a good stout, but I feel like the breweries around here have an appreciation for the weather that inspires that kind of seasonality. So, you know, breweries like Founders, Bell's. Founders is one that just recently had one of those truck chasing kind of beers with their CBS release. It's a big stout with bourbon barrel aging that is involved, as well as maple syrup in there and coffee. So it's one of those big crazy beers that I talked about in my column as far as, you know, chasing around town.
Owen, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. I want to get back, Kyle, to your list of recommendations now and our WPR beer tasting panel. The dark side of beers now. You recommended some stouts. Here's one of them, Paid Time Off from Three Sheeps Brewing. So here's the team on that one. We now enter the stout portion of the event. This is Three Sheeps Brewing. Paid Time Off is the name, and it says it's an imperial stout with toasted coconut, cocoa nibs, and walnuts.
Oh, can I?
Sheboygan.
Did you feel the label?
Yeah,
it's texture.
It's got texture.
Yeah, it's got a nice,
got a good label feel.
Squirrel.
The walnuts really kind of get you right out of the gate.
Thank you.
You know,
yeah. It smells earthy a little.
Ooh, I really like this one.
Yeah, yeah. I like this too. It's a really rich, creamy mouth feel.
It's got a lot of flavors for a beer, really.
Yeah,
this is a sipper.
Yeah, this is not.
Well, I think you're supposed to sip it and then lick the label.
Yeah. Just rip off all your taste buds and then start
that's
over.
That's how you clear your palate.
Yeah.
But I have to say, literally, it's probably good. It's a sipper because, what is it, 10% alcohol? Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
That puts it more in the sipper than the slammer.
Do not chug. Yeah.
The coconut really stays with you, though.
Yeah.
I usually don't like coconut, but this is kind of nice.
Yeah, it's subtle.
You know, I often think of what kind of wine would go with dessert. I think this would go with a lot of desserts.
Yeah,
me
too.
Especially a chocolatey ones, or just kind of
like a good
richer
cream
ones.
Pie or something.
Or like a pecan pie or something.
Yeah. Mm.
Now I want pie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Kyle, a lot going on with that beer and its label, paid time off from Three Sheeps Brewing.
Sure, yeah. They actually just rolled out those new labels not too long ago. That's kind of their next phase of the brewery, was sort of classing up the beer labels. They almost feel like you can strike a match on them. They're really like sandpaper textured. I've actually tested, and you can't.
You can't.
But it's actually too rough. They tore the heck out of the match head. They're very rough, though, but they feel good in your hand. It's definitely something.
Yeah, this was edited. People spent a lot of time talking about the label, but talk a little more about the beer. We heard a lot about the different flavors going on.
Yeah, so obviously the big draw with that is that they throw a lot of adjunct ingredients in there, the coconut, the chocolate, the walnuts. One thing that's changed with Three Sheeps over the years, they've done this beer before, but a lot of their really dark, heavy beers used to be based on a lighter beer. It was this, like, hard to classify dark wheat ale. It wasn't really a stout, wasn't really a porter. It was just kind of, they had a beer called Bad Boy. With like four A's in bad, you know, Three Sheeps.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. and they use that as kind of their base for all of their weird big beers like this. So this is a little bit of a deviation from what they used to do. Now they actually do an honest to God stout, and it is very rich. It's a very thick feeling beer, and it is high alcohol, so you definitely want to take your time with it too. It's good. It's really nice. One thing you want to watch for is don't let it sit around too long, because those flavors are going to start to tail off. You know, the lipids, the fats from the nut and the coconut may start to oxidize a little bit, and you may get a little bit of a tinny flavor in the beer. It's not really a flaw of the beer. It's just the way the beer changes over time. So when you've got a beer like that, you definitely want to drink it sooner rather than later.
So you're saying not even after you poured it. This is while it's still in the bottle.
In the bottle still, yeah. Yeah, if you've got it in your basement or your garage or whatever, don't let it sit around until March. You know, drink it yet this winter.
Talking to Kyle Nabilsi, food and beer writer for Isthmus, looking at some great seasonal brews. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. You can join in with your favorite beer to drink in the winter, seasonal or not. What do you go to when it's cold? 800-642-1234. Greg is on the line in Milwaukee. Greg, hi.
Hi. I was just curious. If a person has a nut allergy and you're going to drink this beer, are you going to have a reaction? Should I take an EpiPen with me?
Greg, neither of us are doctors. I'm going to err on the side of caution and say if there's nuts involved and you have a nut allergy, just steer clear of
that
beer. Yeah,
because it's not just a flavor. They're not using some artificial
ingredient.
Right, there's
actual walnuts in that
walnuts.
One.
It's the way they make the beer is with actual, you know, like toasted ground up walnuts, sort of like the way you'd steep tea with a tea bag. They'll put all that stuff in a mesh bag or something like that, throw it in the boil or in the fermentation afterwards, you know, in the kettle, and let them go. So there is actual nut material in there. I would not chance it if I were you.
Yeah, and the good news is there are many kinds of beers without nuts.
Correct.
In the process.
So many.
Most
yes.
of them.
Yeah,
right.
In fact.
Greg, thanks a lot. Good luck with that. Let's get to one more recommendation now. We'll give a listen again to the WPR tasting panel. Central Waters Brewery, Brewers Reserve Bourbon Barrel Stout. It's a long name. Let's hear what people had to say.
This is an American treasure right here.
So our last one is Central Waters Stout Brewers Reserve.
Bourbon barrel.
It says it's bourbon barrel aged. Oak bourbon barrels, to be precise.
Okay. Gotta have that oak.
That's fine.
This is like, yeah, stop talking. Just hand over the bottle.
That's fine. I didn't want to do any work later.
Pass the beer on the left-hand side.
Yeah, this is another, like, probably 11-12%.
Whoa.
This one's really
wow. So higher alcohol by volume.
So I have to say, just smelling it, like if I was blindfolded, I would think this was actually liquor.
It smells
beer.
Like liquor, yeah.
So I wonder, is that really like the bourbon barrel
that
aging?
Makes me nervous.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't
know
that it could have that much of an impact.
I feel like I'm taking a shot.
Yeah.
A shot and a beer all rolled into one.
Help.
Ooh.
Well, it tastes like bourbon.
It really tastes like bourbon.
That would be a good thing in my book. Is it in yours?
No, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't taste like beer. It's really all bourbon to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These have all been incredibly different.
Yeah. Very, yeah. Very, yeah. Both this one and the stout that we did before, bear with me here. What about an ice cream float with them?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I do it.
What's like
a really premium
cookie?
Wisconsin
Ooh, yeah.
vanilla.
Some just, Babcock dairy
oh my
ice
God.
Cream.
Seriously, with all those flavors in it.
I did
go
to school
So the bourbon barrel concept, that's not a gimmick. That actually does stuff.
Yeah, no, absolutely does. I mean, you're dealing with barrels that previously used or you know, stored bourbon. So you'll get a little of those flavors leaching through. You get some of the flavors that the wood provides to, you know, people who drink wine talk about oaky, you know, Chardonnays or whatever. That's the same. I mean, it's the same thing. It's in a wooden barrel, and so that wood will impart a certain flavor, whether it's a raw wood, a toasted wood, a previously used wood. All those things contribute to the flavor of the liquid that eventually gets stored inside.
Let's go back to your calls now. Tim is on the line in Watertown. Tim, hi.
Hi there. Beer that I had recently, I'm not sure if it is a seasonal, but very enjoyable stout from Tyrena Brewery locally here. It was The Devil Made Me Do It.
And what kind of beer is that, Tim?
I would think it's an imperial stout from the way it tasted and everything. Very, very dark, heavy beer, very high alcohol content. The only thing is I wouldn't recommend drinking a pitcher of it like I tried to accomplish a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But still a very, very good beer. I think something that would go very well with any kind of meal.
Tim, thanks a lot. Yeah, it sounds a little heavy and high alcohol for the pitcher.
Yeah, those are from similar to what Sunder Waters has with the Brewers Reserve Series. Tiernina does a similar thing where they sort of let their brewers go nuts with these big, high-gravity, high-alcohol beers, and they throw a bunch of stuff in them. They do a bunch. You'll see them with a little yellow neck label on the bottle. Those are the ones that usually have the craziest recipes in them.
Thanks for the call, Tim. Time for one more. Ryan, you're with us in Wisconsin Dells. Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What's your recommendation? Just briefly, Ryan.
Moose Drool. I spent some time in Montana, and I became very fond of it.
All right. Thanks a lot. Moose Drool from Montana, Kyle.
Yeah, that's a Mountain Time Zone classic. That makes it out here. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much
nationwide. Is that
nationwide.
A seasonal?
No, that's pretty much year-round, I believe. Yeah, that's one of their standbys.
Okay.
Sure.
What are you looking to try next as we start to wrap up, Kyle?
I am super excited to crack open one of the Untitled Art Waffle Stouts, speaking of the crazy recipes. so this is another one from the same guys that did the Berliner Weiss that you tried. And this one's got coffee and cinnamon and vanilla. It's basically replicating a waffle or breakfast kind of
beer. Maple? I'm guessing
a lot of maple. Yeah, big maple. I had a little sip of it on draft and it was great. I just bought some bottles recently. I'm really jazzed to open those up.
Maybe a little smoke flavor or something like that to recreate the
from
waffle
the roast
sensation.
of the malts that goes into it. Yeah, you'll get a little bit of that too.
Cool.
Sort of a coffee thing.
Well, Kyle, thanks a lot. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been great. Thanks.
We've been talking to Kyle Nabilsi, food and beer writer for Isthmus. We've been talking about some of our favorite winter seasonal beers. You can keep sharing your favorites, by the way. Just head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page, or you can always tweet us at Central Time WPR. What is your winter brew?